Thank you, Pat. Between the message of Pat's song and the message of Larry's scripture reading, our plates are full already. I could pray and we could dismiss, but you're not getting out of here that easy. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Mark and Diana. And thank you, Jim, for your prayer before our giving time. This is entitled Inner Peace. If you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you are probably the family dog. Lord, lift us up to that higher plane. Please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs, and we'll begin in chapter 15 this morning. This is our 11th Sunday morning in the book of Proverbs, authored by God through Solomon 1,000 years before Christ. The Proverbs are practical. They are pointed. They are picturesque statements intended to give us all insight into living. The name of the Lord is mentioned 87 times in the book of Proverbs. Fear of the Lord and faith in Him is the foundation of wisdom. Repetition, it is said, is the best teacher. So if you read Proverbs chapter 1 through 31, you will find that the same ideas, similar thoughts, similar statements on 50 different topics are repeated in rotation. So if you're reading Proverbs like you would read anything, front to back, repetition is a good teacher. But for the sake of studying Proverbs together on Sunday mornings and for the sake of seeking God's wisdom by doing that, we've taken it by topics. And so it helps me if you will move through the book with me, forward and backward, and we catch similar verses on a similar subject each Sunday morning. Today we're going to talk about the good steward. We're going to look at Proverbs on money and on finances. We will see how far we get because there are a lot of Proverbs that deal with money. It's interesting, if you look at all the subjects that Jesus spoke about, the subject that he spoke more often about than any other was in Pat's song and in this sermon. The two subjects that Jesus spoke the most about in the Gospels was money and hell. He spoke so often about hell because he came so that we don't have to go there. And Larry read for us one of the many passages in the Bible that tell us how not to go to hell. Jesus also spoke often of money because he knows in this world, this fallen world, it is such a hang-up for us. Whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, the issues of money are just so daily, and we have to be concerned with it. So Jesus had a lot to say about it, and it shouldn't surprise you that Solomon had a lot to say about it. Many of God's greatest characters in the Bible had a lot of money. Some of his greatest characters had very little. The Apostle Paul said, I know what it's like at times in my life to have a lot. I also know what it's like to have a little. And I'll tell you that contentment either way is gain. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Solomon will also tell you in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you'd like to read those 12 chapters, that all the wealth and the money that he had as king over the greatest kingdom on earth 1,000 years before Christ, the kingdom of Israel. Solomon will tell you very honestly in Ecclesiastes, and he tells us in Proverbs, that for all the wealth that he had, it did not satisfy him. Proverbs says a lot about money. We'll see how far we get. We may do it again next week. We'll see. We're going to keep it in balance, too. We're going to begin with the fact that the wise person from Proverbs understands what money cannot buy. Chapter 15 and verse 16. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Remember, so many of the Proverbs, the first phrase and the second phrase are antonyms in order to make a point. You know, it would be nice to have great wealth and have a great relationship with God. But they're set as opposites. It would also be nice to have great wealth and peace and calm and not turmoil. Look at the proverb again. Look at the opposite in what it's teaching us. Better a little money with God than great wealth with turmoil. In other words, money will not buy peace. Money will not buy tranquility. Look at verse 17. Better a meal of vegetables, simple food on a simple budget. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. Money will not buy love and affection. How many homes can afford feasting all the time, and yet those same homes are filled with hatred and hard feelings and turmoil? Better a little bit with God, better a little bit with the right relationship with those in your home. Better a little bit with God and with peace and with harmony than riches with turmoil and hatred. Chapter 16, verse 8. Better a little materially with righteousness, a right standing with God through faith, trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5. Better a right relationship with God by faith, with God's righteousness in your life, following His will and ways, better a little bit with that than much gain with injustice. Money will not buy morality. Money will not buy righteousness. Chapter 17 and verse 1. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Said it again, didn't it? Better to live in a home with calm and peace than to live well-to-do with friction and strife and frustration Money can't buy happiness. What a cliche. Poverty can't buy happiness either. An international study based on information gathered in 39 countries and published in the journal Social Indicators Research, this study concluded that the more money people make, the more they want, so happiness keeps eluding them. The study said, and I quote, "Neither increasing income at the individual level nor the national level, the country level, in 39 countries, neither were accompanied by increases in personal subjective well-being," end quote. The researchers found that the rapid increases in wealth resulted in less, not more, happiness. Ed Diner, a University of Illinois psychologist, said, and I quote, "A lot of people think if only I had $1 million, I'd be so happy." It could possibly be true for an individual, but for most people, on average, according to the international study, it appears not to be true. You know, something that I think about from time to time, I've not been to the poorest country on earth. You know what the poorest country on earth is? Haiti. But I have visited with people right here in Springfield. I've talked to fellow Christians that have gone to Haiti to minister after all that, to serve after all that little island country has gone through. And something that people tell me about Haiti, I've seen pictures, is that the average person who lives in poverty in Haiti goes around with a smile on his face. And I'm not saying life is paradise in Haiti, but the point that is reported to me is that the average Haitian is quick to smile. And do you ever look at Americans, what we look like in public? Do you ever notice, I try not to stare at people in other cars, and I don't want them staring at me, but you ever notice in traffic how happy we Americans look with our our fancy cars, our fancy clothes, our fancy homes, our comfort, food everywhere in restaurants and grocery stores and the cupboards at home? Anyway, God says through Solomon, money will not buy what really matters. Chapter 23, verse 4. We keep as much as possible, prayerfully and with the Spirit's guidance, a biblical balance. There's over 31,000 verses in the Bible. When you're studying a verse, you want to keep the biblical balance by cross-referencing with other verses. You can do that in Proverbs. I want us to understand chapter 23 and verse 4 is not teaching us not to work. In the book of Proverbs, when it comes to money and finances, we will see, it may be next week, but there's numerous verses on hard work. But I want you to notice in detail, take the time to think about it, look at verse 4, Proverbs 23, 4. We began by saying that the wise understand what money cannot buy. Can't buy peace and tranquility, it can't buy a happy home. Can't buy love and affection. It can't buy righteousness, morality. And so because of that, the wise understand the fleeting nature of money. No, not only what it can't buy now, but how quickly it is gone from us or we are gone from it. Proverbs 23:4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Now, if you go into business or if you're in any kind of work, you're in it for a paycheck and you're in it for a profit, and there's nothing wrong with that. Let's look at what the proverb is saying. It is saying, do not spend your life being an addicted workaholic. Don't wear yourself out. Don't work yourself to death. Don't spend your life being a workaholic. Proverbs will say a lot about laziness. Remember, we had a whole Sunday on that. It's not saying don't work. It's saying don't live to work. Do we work to live or do we live to work? We live for the Lord. We love Him first. Don't spend your whole life wearing yourself out for money. Don't be a workaholic. Have some wisdom, it says, to show restraint. Take a little time for God, for people, for relaxation, for enjoyment. In the Old Testament, God instituted the Sabbath so that people could spend a day resting, reflecting on Him, spending time with each other. The Proverbs say a lot about working and working hard, but don't be a workaholic. Don't spend your whole life for that. Have some wisdom. Keep a balance. No man on his deathbed ever says, I only wish I had spent more time at the office. I only wish I had spent more time at the shop. I only wish I'd spent more time working in the field. You don't say that on your deathbed. What matters on your deathbed is your faith, your family, your friends. Work comes somewhere after that. The wise understand what money can't buy. The wise understand the fleeting nature of money. Therefore, don't spend your whole existence trying to get it. Solomon talks in Ecclesiastes about the meaninglessness and the waste of life of living simply to accumulate wealth. Chapter 23 and verse 5. The wise understand the fleeting nature of money. Proverbs are picturesque. Here we go. Cast but a glance at riches and they're gone. God so blessed Solomon with wisdom and wealth that it was said in Jerusalem that money was like the pavement, the street stones. It was just everywhere. But Solomon says, cast but a glance at riches. Don't focus on it because riches are gone. They will sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Riches are so uncertain, they so easily vanish. Many of us feel that way when there's more month at the end of the money, right? Cast a glance at riches. They're gone, like an eagle flies off. The wise understand the fleeting nature of money. The IRS will help you with this one. If you've done really well, they'll help you take care of it. 27:24. The Bible never says money is sin. The Bible never says having a lot of money is sin. Focusing on money, the love of money, greed is the sin. In a conversation this week, the owner of Hobby Lobby came up, and that man and his family have done so much with the money that they've made. The Jesus film that's now been translated into over 1,200 languages and distributed worldwide is an incredible witnessing tool. The family behind Hobby Lobby has funded a great deal of that. Money doesn't have to be an idol. Money is a wonderful servant, especially when we can use it to help serve the Lord. But money makes a horrid master. That's why Jesus said you can't serve God and money. If money's your master, God will not be. Money is a servant. Well, Proverbs 27:24. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Boy, did Solomon know that. His throne and his kingdom was split upon his death in 931 BC. Riches do not endure forever, Proverbs 27:24. I started cross-referencing other places in the Bible that teach that truth, and it wore me out. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man's flesh is like the grass of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall off. Man in all his pomp and circumstance fades like the grass and the flowers. But the word of the Lord abides forever. Solomon, in all of his majesty, has been gone for 3,000 years. But God's word communicated through him is still abiding. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, even when a man has an abundance, his life does not consist of his possessions. See, that's like the proverb we just looked at. Jesus repeated it, just a few slightly different words. When Solomon said in the proverb, don't be a workaholic. Don't focus your whole life on work. Jesus said, even when you have an abundance, your life doesn't consist of your work and what you make from your work. Life is more than that. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with others. There's so much more to life than just earning and spending. James 1:11. We studied James together verse by verse a couple of years ago on Sunday morning. James 1:11. The Bible says, God says through James, the half-brother of Jesus, the wealthy man is fading away even as he goes about his business. That's God's eternal perspective. Dr. William H. Cook, in his book, Success, Motivation, and the Scriptures, describes a meeting in 1923 of a group of business tycoons. Together, these men in 1923, almost 100 years ago, controlled unthinkable sums of wealth. And for years, the media at that time had trumpeted their success stories. On this particular day in 1923 in Chicago, these men assembled to enjoy their mutual success. Dr. Cook, in his book, relays what happened to these men in the years that followed 1923. Charles Schwab, the president of the largest independent steel company, we still know the name because of the investment firm. Charles Schwab lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life, and he died penniless. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, served time in prison at the end of his life. Albert Fall, a former member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, known at the time as the greatest bear on Wall Street, killed himself. These were the guys at the meeting in Chicago in 1923 celebrating their success. This is what happened to them later. Leon Fraser, the president of the Bank of International Settlement, also committed suicide. Ivan Kruger, head of the world's greatest monopoly in 1923, killed himself. Why would such wealthy and successful and powerful and admired people take their own lives? Why would they do that, church? Why? Because most of us think, if only I had more. If only I had a million or more. If only I had this or that. And we spend our whole life thinking like that. But for the people who actually get it, achieve it, if that's all they've lived for and all they've focused on, they lose it. It hasn't satisfied them. Read Proverbs, read Ecclesiastes. Solomon was the wisest and wealthiest man on earth in his day, and he'll tell you the misery he had during the time in his life when he left God out of his life. Do you remember our background sermon when we began Proverbs 11 weeks ago? We talked about Solomon. He started so strong as a young king. He drifted into worldly ways in a number of areas. And then he came back at the end of his life and he wrote Proverbs and he wrote Ecclesiastes in particular. Proverbs was written at different points in his life, but Ecclesiastes in particular at the end of his life. And Solomon in both books tells us what really matters. Fear of God and faith in Him is the foundation for a wise life. And Solomon tells you in Ecclesiastes his money left him empty. When he got his focus off God and on himself. There have also been many wealthy people who lived happy and fulfilling lives because they were children of God and their money was in the right place and priority under God. This is why it's so important that our money in America, God is so blessed. I mean, we have the largest economy in the world by far. So large is the American economy that even the state of Texas by itself, and I know you Texans here have a pride problem and I hate to feed it. I hate to feed it. But Texas alone has four of the top 10 cities in America, and Texas alone is the seventh largest economy in the world, if you just take Texas. Think of all of America. Our economy is so much larger than anybody else's. But this, God has blessed us this way, or it wouldn't be. And it's why it's so important that our money says, "In God we trust." Because no matter how much GNP we have, it flies away like an eagle, as we're finding, since we're $20 trillion in debt. And it is not our security. In God we trust. It's so important that that's on our money. Because even though we have the biggest economy in the world and the strongest military in the world, and we appreciate both, our faith is in God. In God we trust. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, Paul grew up rich and well educated, and there were times in his ministry that Paul was well supplied. But he said, contentment with godliness is great gain, because Paul said, I've seen it, I've felt it. He was a rich young Pharisee before he served Christ. Paul said, those who spend their lives wanting to be rich and working to be rich, and that's all there is to their existence, is water coming in the back door? Water coming in the side doors? Paul said, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap if that is the focus of their existence. 1 Timothy 6. There is nothing wrong with going into business, getting a job, and making money. Do your work as unto the Lord. The Lord will profit you. The Lord will bless you. Do your work for Him. The money you make because you know in God you trust. What you make, you know God allows you to make. He gives you the time, the talent. He gives you the treasure. He gives you America, the opportunity to work and succeed like you couldn't in most places in the world. It's all because of God. So even as we work and earn, we are so grateful to God, because it's in God we trust, whether we've got a lot or a little. Proverbs 18:11, I'm going to do two more, and then we're going to do money again next week. And next week, we're going to talk about what Proverbs says about earning, saving, spending, and sharing. Proverbs has a lot to say about earning, saving, spending, sharing. Proverbs 18, verse 11. Again, the wise understand that money can give a false sense of security. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, so they think. Do you see that in verse 11? Proverbs 18:11. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine, they fantasize, that it is an unscalable wall. I'm thankful for the material possessions the Lord has given me, and you're thankful too. Our security is not ultimately in our material possessions or our money. Our security is in the Lord. No matter what we've got or don't have. Like many other economies in history before us, and like many economies around the world, even in our lifetime, the American economy could go belly up. It could totally fail. Our money could be absolutely worthless in a moment. Our security is in the Lord. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, so they think. They imagine it's an unscalable wall. Today, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, trust God. He is our security and stability. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God. And Abraham Lincoln said, quoting scripture, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." If God didn't allow America to be raised up, if the Lord had not preserved America, we would not be here today like we are. And how long we have in the future as a nation and as the wealthiest nation on earth, when we are at the same time the greatest debtor nation on earth, who knows? The Lord knows. But my security is in Him. One nation under God, in God we trust. We do that as a country. We do that as individuals. Boy, this spells it out. I sometimes pause because I feel like you're probably reading it for yourself. Maybe two or three times. And then by the time I read it, maybe it's the fourth time. That's good. Proverbs 11:28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall. Remember Jesus told the story of the rich fool? And he said, you had no room for God in your life. And now your soul is required of you, and what have you got? Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Those who are right with God, who walk and talk with God, who are children of God, whether they have a lot or a little, the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Contentment with godliness, 1 Timothy 6, is great gain. The righteous will thrive. Don't you trust in the riches? I'll close with A.W. Tozer, and next week we will do the importance of planning, working, saving, sharing, and how we spend. It's all in Proverbs. We'll see it next week. A.W. Tozer. Tozer. You'd think a guy like me could get the Z's right. Tozer wrote, "Money often comes between men and God. That's why Jesus talks so much about money. Money often comes between men and God. Someone has said that you can take two small dimes and shut out the view of a panoramic landscape. Go to the mountains and just hold two dimes closely in front of your two eyes. The mountains are still there, but you cannot see them at all because there is a dime shutting off the vision in each of your eyes." It doesn't take large quantities of money to come between us and God. Just a little placed in the wrong position will effectively obscure our view of God and what really matters. Even a little bit of money, like 2 dimes. And you know, some of the greediest, most covetous people on earth are the poorest. See, the issue is not how much or how little you have. It's your attitude towards God and your attitude towards money. That's the issue. Because as Tozer points out, even 2 little dimes can obstruct your view of God and what really matters if you're focused on those dimes. Proverbs has a lot to say about money. Wow. Next week we'll do it again. The week after that is Mother's Day. We will not talk about money on Mother's Day. Let's stand together and sing a close.